How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Listeners, welcome to episode number 50 of A Tale of Two Hygienists. This is Andrew.
This is Michelle, the big 5-0. Yay. That's awesome.
I told you I don't like watching people floss, and then you just got out a spool of floss. And
I actually was going to save this until you're scaling the web when you don't actually look at me.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's save it.
I just really felt like gross. I needed to floss my teeth.
I wear gloves when I floss my own teeth. Is that weird?
I used to.
Okay.
And I got called out on it, and they were like, that's so weird. I was like, well, I don't want to wash my hands before and after, and I just don't want to put my hands in my mouth. Leave me alone. But that's why I like gum chucks. Have you used gum chucks?
Yeah.
Shout out to Keith and gum chucks, because gum chucks is great.
Alan Mead loves them a lot, too. He went on a whole thing on his podcast about how much he loves them. Yeah, so they're pretty good. How's your weekend?
Amazing. Freaking amazing.
Why? How come?
Because I was with some of the, what I think to be some of the smartest women in our field that are out being speakers and just kind of mover and shakers with just amazing ideas. And we all came from like a different opinion on so many things, but we were also willing to listen to each other. And some of them got a little... I would never say heated by any means, but just strong conversations. But
passionate.
It was never very passionate conversations, but none of it was like, it wasn't like 30 seconds to a minute later that we were all like either joking about something or moved on to another topic. And then those two people who had a passionate discussion were in agreement on something. It was just so fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I went to Dallas for the first time, so that was great.
But you didn't record any of that, huh?
So literally the last night when we all had a full day of like being in session and then went to a lovely dinner and drank a lot of wine. And then we all went back to one of the girls' hotel room and we all just kind of kept drinking and talking. And that's when our like conversations got really intense. And after it all, I was like, all I want to do is rewind this 1 hour and hit record on my computer. And they're like, we should have done it. I was like, no, don't tell me that. So it was a
bonus episode. That would have been so good.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, and we did call you because I wanted to make you incredibly jealous.
Yeah. Thank you.
But it was like,
and I told her really Hodson poorly. And,
yeah, well, no, that was a funny joke. But it was like Christine Hodson and Susan Wingrove and Sharidi, who we love and just adore, especially after Smiles at Sea. And just an amazing group of women. And then I met so many new ones. And so there's two girls from Canada who, Chrissy and Joanne, incredibly smart. Kathy Carlson, who is actually an assistant, but does amazing case presentations. I met a new woman, Allison, who has, this is like her third profession and is exceptional at it. Like, it's just crazy. Mm. Sherry Lucas, she was at ADHA. We met her there. And incredible. And
we talk about her on this episode that's coming up, too, as she was one of the mentors for one of our guests.
Yes. So. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, just a group of women. Tracy Butler, I mean, and you can't get someone more passionate and smarter than that chick. She's awesome. So, it was just a great, great weekend. It was.
That's so good. What was the meeting for?
It was just a scientific summit of just researchers kind of coming together and speakers, and we just kind of worked with each other with even our presentations and helping, giving feedback and things like that. So I met a new company, which you and I need to talk about, and it's video. It's almost like a video business card. It's so cool. So lots of really fun, awesome things that were happening this weekend. And now I'm in town for 6 days, and I am happy.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I have nothing really going on for, I work one day of like the next 7 days, and our company is really nice where they give us Thanksgiving, it's a paid holiday, and then give us Friday off, but then last year they ended up making it a paid holiday also. So we get two paid holidays because our company is awesome. That's fun. Yeah, well, I mean, because I think a lot of people want to take that time off anyways, right? And mm-hmm. So it just makes it easier. But my weekend was also pretty good. We had my 8-year-old got baptized in my church, and so we had family come up. And
that's special.
Yeah, my buddy Daniel, who was on an episode, mm-hmm. what, like 9 or 10 or something like that, he came up, and he's never been to Portland before, so we went to Portland and saw all sorts of weird things. And I think the best thing that we saw, and we saw, like Portland is like, legitimately like weird but we went to
hence the Portlandia episodes that I love.
Those are so spot on. Like it's are not
they?
Yeah,
but, oh I love
oh,
it.
Oh yes, it's ridiculous. We actually watched a couple episodes before we went down there just to kind of get in the vibe. Yeah. We went to a place called Voodoo Donuts, which is pretty Ooh. popular. And we did like a walking tour. And on that tour, the guy was telling us that right down this little street right next to Voodoo Donuts, he was given a tour just a couple weeks before. And there was a dog walking that had baby shoes on.
Why?
I don't. Because someone put baby shoes on their dog. And that's a normal thing. Down that same strip earlier, Daniel and I were sitting there because we'd gone to Voodoo Donuts and we'd gotten, you know, because it's pretty iconic there. And so we'd gotten a donut. And we were sitting kind of outside and there was a guy walking and he had a kite that he was flying. But this kite was like 2 inches by 1 inch on like thread. But it was 4 feet behind him. I mean, it was just like, it wasn't that, I mean, it was like a mini kite. And I have no idea why, but he was just like normal. Like, this is what I do, walk around Portland with a kite. So, and he was a grown dude. Like, he was older than me and he was walking around. Like, why, how does that even come to be like a thing? Yeah. Like, how do you think I would like to walk around with a mini kite? But I was actually pretty impressed. The aerodynamics of this kite were very, very nice. I mean, they had just, I mean, it was like, it was like a real kite though. That's the thing. Like it was lilting like the right way. And like when he walked out into
what
like,
is that
intersection,
word?
The
that
side
you just
breeze
used to describe it.
Lilting. Like when,
that's
like
a
this
new
listeners.
Word in my vocabulary.
Like lilting. This, what I'm doing with my hand, listeners, watch. Yeah. Like that.
Lilting.
Kind of, going up and down.
Okay.
With the breeze. I don't know if that's the right word, but
I'm gonna look
that's
it
the
up.
Word I'm going with.
I like to add words to my vocabulary since obviously I'm so great with grammar and words.
Well, speaking of vocabulary though, we kind of went on this episode. We kind of talked about, I don't know if you remember, because we recorded this a long time ago, but
yeah,
we talked a little bit about the whole y'all thing again. And
you mean the best word in the vocabulary that I speak?
No. No, but we talked a little bit about that. I was surprised as I was going through the editing of this, like how like we talked about it. Like it was a thing for more than just like 2 seconds. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, then we did that.
Yeah, because so, she's from Texas. Good.
Yeah, Melissa.
Yeah.
So
lilting means to lift up, probably from the late 14th century.
Yeah. Interesting. So that was kind of right. Lilting. We usually use like with voices and stuff though. Like yeah. Your voice is lilting.
What does lilting like voice sound like? Yeah. Cadence. Okay. Just wanted to know this word that I didn't know.
Anyways, all right. So I think that's enough for the intro because this is a long episode. Sorry, listeners, but it's really, really great. You're going to love it. It's Melissa Scott and Nicole Phillips. And they're also representatives from Young Dental. And you're just going to, they talk about so much about their journey, about their passion for the profession. But they also have some really great like tips and tricks and some young products to kind of introduce you to. So
yep.
Enjoy this episode. Hey, Michelle.
Yeah?
It's time for the interview.
Oh, but I had something else to say.
We need to let the experts talk now.
Fine. Welcome, listeners, to A Tale of Two Hygienists. It is early, still in the morning.
Saturday.
I still have my coffee. We're at RDH Under One Roof.
I finished my Red Bull already. Shout out to Red Bull.
No, shout out to Red Bull.
I'm going
to
get a free case,
no,
by the way.
No, we're not. We're getting wine before we get Red Bull ever.
There's a whole story behind this. I know you guys are new to this thing. There's a whole story. Michelle gives me a bad time, but it's great. It's funny. Anyways. Yeah.
So we have two guests, and we're going to let you introduce yourselves. The one great thing about when we're at RDH Under One Roof, and me being an exhibitor, is that I meet other exhibitors, and I learn about products, and I'm kind of blown away as a teacher and clinician. And so it's nice that we get to share this in the moment when you're here in front of our face and we can have this conversation. So who wants to start? Introduce yourself.
Okay, well, I will go first. My name is Melissa Scott, and I live in Dallas, Texas. And I'm a practicing clinical hygienist. I've been practicing for about 15 years. And actually, 15 years this month. And nice. So, and then I'm also a young clinical rep for Young Dental.
Okay, and that's what I've met, and that's great. So, and then
I am Nicole Phillips.
Uh-huh.
I am from Chicago, Illinois. I've been practicing for 20 years this year.
Wow!
Congratulations. 2020.
So, I practice in downtown Chicago, and I am also a young clinical rep. And what Melissa didn't mention is that we're actually territory leads for Young Clinical. So we help manage. There's 60 different clinical reps across the nation, but we help manage different territories. I am the North Central Territory Lead, and Melissa.
And then I'm the Southwest Territory Lead.
Nice.
And do you say y'all?
Yes, I do. So please pardon me if I say
that. Do you guys say y'all? And do you guys say y'all?
I say y'all.
Oh my gosh.
In your face.
I'm such a minority.
In your face. I say y'all all the time.
And I'm
from South Carolina, so y'all is like, I will even say y'all all.
Just part of your vernacular. I know yesterday at the booth, I said, bye y'all. And someone turned around and said,
like, where are you from?
Where are you from?
Yeah. I get that often. I'll go and I'll say, have y'all heard of the Type A products? And they're like, where are you from?
Like, I think it's pretty disarming planet. Though. I think it's kind of nice. Like, oh yeah, you said y'all. I'll listen to you talk about Type A products.
Exactly.
You don't say y'all?
I don't, because I'm normal.
And this is what I work with. I chose to do a podcast with this guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm from Washington State, and so we speak regular people talk over there.
Regular English.
Yeah.
A regular English.
American English.
American.
But isn't there something saying y'all that's comforting?
It is.
The
no, it
Southern
super is.
Draw, the Southern, the way we
the
talk.
The charm of it.
Yes, I think it's a comforting
kind of break down a wall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's how she broke me down to do the podcast with her, to be honest. Like, I was like, I don't know about this.
I threw that Southern twang in there. I was like, come on, Andrew.
She gets worse when she's around other Southerners, by the way.
I am. Yeah, it's so true. Okay, so what is your background? So clinical and any education? I mean, how did you get into this role? Like, where did you start and how did you move into?
And also, is it private practice, corporate? What kind of clinical were you doing?
So I work for a company that own several different offices around the Dallas Metroplex, and I started working for them about 10 years ago, and then through my volunteer work with my local component in Dallas, and then working on the board for the Texas Dental Hygienists Association, through those contacts and the networking that I did, I got my position as clinical representative for Young Dental. So it was all about the volunteer work I did, and through my association that I made the connections.
And I think that's really important, because we keep saying that, like, the networking side of it is mm-hmm. incredibly mm-hmm. important. I mean, you could have so much education, but if you don't know people and you haven't gotten into the circles to even know that opportunities exist,
right.
I mean, it's incredibly important.
And the barrier for entry for those types of circles is very low. I mean, we're all like pretty yeah. like cool people.
Yeah.
So if
anyone, and we enjoy talking about this
yeah.
stuff. So
you
just start
a
relationship.
About
yeah.
Hygiene,
exactly.
though, right?
Yeah. Yes, so. Absolutely.
Yeah. How about you?
My entrance is a little different. So I've worked in a small, tiny little private practice in Chicago for the last 15 years. It's just one dentist, me,
nice.
I'm the only hygienist, and then one assistant and an office manager. So what I did, though, was I came to RDHUOR when it was in Chicago. And when it came, that's where I met our manager, Nicole.
That we all love.
Yeah. And the reason why I met her is because they happened to have a class that was for hygienists who are looking for opportunities outside of the operatory, outside of
nice.
Clinical. So after 20 years, my back, my elbows, mm-hmm. my arms, my hands, my wrists, everything's starting to really feel it. So, but of course, I love hygiene. I want to stay in it. Mm-hmm. But I
we're
just
almost
wanna,
masochistic in
yeah.
that nature. Like, I don't want to leave it,
yeah.
but I'm dying.
So,
literally.
But what else is out there? So they had a class where there were companies that were interested in talking to hygienists who want a different type of role. And so Young Dental was one of those companies. So that's how I got into this role, was through that.
And so you're managing a lot of other people, but also you come to all the big events, like the big conferences and things, and help with the
yes,
booth?
Yes. As a young clinical representative, we're responsible for getting the word out about these products to our components. So we go to component meetings. We go to trade shows like RDHUOR. So you'll see us at the booths. We're talking about the products. But we also do social events. So that's just events where we're inviting hygienists out to come and learn about our products, but also, you know, network and have a good time with us, too. We also do college visits. So we go to colleges. We talk to them about our products. There's a number of different things that YCRs do to help people learn about young products and why they're so good for hygienists. So we do a lot.
And so I kind of want to piggyback on what Nicole said. The great thing about the Young Clinical Representative program that Young has started is every one of us are practicing dental hygienists.
Yes.
So we are using the products on our patients, and then we're able to share our experiences of the products with other hygienists when we go to these events. And I think hearing from another hygienist, you know, a hygienist speaking to another hygienist really goes a long way.
Absolutely.
And versus please forgive me, a sales rep who's never worked on a patient before.
Yes.
And so there's that level of integrity and acceptance, and I think it's a brilliant program.
Yeah. I wrote an article for RDH eVillage a few months ago, and it kind of stemmed from the frustration of being on this side of the table now. So being a practicing clinician and someone that walked the exhibit halls, and in my younger, immature years, treated it almost like trick-or-treating, like, open my bag, give me my goodies, move to the next booth.
We know about that.
You're saying yeah. something to me, but I really don't care. Yeah. I'm going to keep on going. I got my free stuff. I'm moving on. And just really trying to tell people that there's clinicians behind that booth. There's educators behind mm-hmm. that booth. And if you just took the moment to not just grab the freebie, but sit and talk and learn, I have learned more from people behind the booth than I have in a CE course. And so that, and it's a great point, and I'm so glad you brought it up, because you are clinical, you're practicing, and you're using the product, and maybe you have tips and tricks or suggestions or just a technique that you just change it and it's like all the difference in the world. And you know that. So listeners, take the time to talk to those people, because they're not all salespeople. They're not all there to just, you know, make that quota and
push
you
that
know,
product.
Push that product. Right. It's they're believers. So me with Tepe, I believe wholeheartedly in the product, and you would be the same way with Young. So,
and I think also that's why a lot of conferences actually offer CE for the exhibit hall, is because they're gaining that education if they're doing it right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Yeah. What kind of things do you guys like to see when someone comes up to your booth as far as like being able to educate and teach? What are you looking for in that?
Or what are the things that you hear most commonly? Like, oh, I didn't know this, or, oh, thank you for telling me that. Like, it was like one little thing.
Well, one thing that I feel people have learned, hygienists have learned coming up to our booth about our fluoride varnish, they don't realize with our varnish, you can patients can consume hot liquids immediately after application.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a huge thing that a lot of hygienists don't realize. For me, that was huge because my 7 a.m., 8 a.m. patients
want to go eat and have a coffee.
They would object to fluoride and decline it because they wanted to go have hot coffee. Well, a few years ago when I switched over to the Delish varnish, they couldn't give me that objection anymore. So guess what? Mm-hmm. They're getting their fluoride varnish treatments. And so I don't think a lot of hygienists realize that. And we've talked to a lot of hygienists this weekend at the booth about that. And they're so excited to hear that because they have the same problem.
Right.
Right. So tell me more about the Delish, though, and just in general. Like, what have been the biggest pros?
Well, clinically, what I see is it goes on clear. It doesn't clump. Patients aren't complaining about the varnish treatment. You know, that's another complaint or objection that patients give.
Feels like your teeth aren't clean afterwards.
Right. But it's a very light coating, and it's clear. And they all the flavors are, you know, look at the name, Delish. Mm-hmm. The flavors are great. And so after when I switched a couple of years ago to the Delish varnish, patients every time are saying, oh, this isn't bad. This is really nice. Tastes great. So those are some of the great things I think about the Delish varnish.
We've had some samples come through with our supplier. You guys would send out little samples, right? And we've had vanilla cupcake. It was a huge hit, not only for the kiddos so who love it, right? We're like, oh, it's just like birthday cake. It sounds it's delicious. But the adults, the same thing what you're saying. They're like, oh, my goodness, this is actually not terrible. Mm-hmm. And I can keep it on my teeth for a little bit longer. I don't want to go brush it off right away.
Can I ask, though, what the presence of saliva, is that how much for this kind of varnish? Because I know that some are each different. Like, some need to be a little bit drier. Some are like, oh, slap that thing on there and it's fine. What is, how does that work with Delish?
I don't have an issue with saliva. I mean, I will go in and quickly air dry, but then I don't go back and after I do one arch, I always start on the upper arch. I don't go back and re-dry the lower arch.
Okay.
I just go through
keep going,
the entire mouth.
So if it mixes with saliva,
I'm
no
not
problem.
Having an issue.
Yeah, it's almost like glossy. Like that's the word that comes to my mind when I think of like sort of like the texture and how it goes on. Mm-hmm. And so we have hygienists at the booth. They come up and they can actually put the fluoride on their teeth, and everybody's like, oh, it's so glossy. It's great and slick on my teeth.
I love it.
And so it's like, that's how it is. Like, when you paint it on the patient's teeth, it doesn't clump up and turn into these big globs when it comes in contact with the saliva.
And, yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it, because then I like see it on their tongue, and I'm like, oh, I'm
yeah.
that off.
And little kids are like, mommy, I
got
this
in my mouth.
Yeah, you don't get that with Delish. It's really nice, actually. The texture or the consistency is really great.
Okay, I want to talk about the handpiece a little bit, because I just taught polishing and at school where it's like newbie hygienist, and you know they've been working with these instruments, and so I teach them how to polish, and the first thing that they all say is like, it's so heavy and
awkward.
It's pulling on my wrist and you tell me I should have good like wrist action and like full but it's pulling on me and being I guess used to it, and I keep saying this is my first semester teaching that I call them the baby hygienist. Like I usually get them in when they're more advanced in, you know, I can work with perio and stuff like that. So I didn't have a really good answer. And I haven't used, I don't even know what the handpiece is, honestly. But then I walked at, what was it, ADHA, and I was like, holy hell, look at this handpiece. It's got the little curve on the end. So can you tell us more about the handpiece?
So the handpiece is great. The handpiece was designed specifically to be held by a little dainty
little hand.
So it's really small. I think it's like 3 ounces or 4 ounces. It weighs barely anything, mm-hmm. is the point. When I was in school, we had these heavy hand pieces that would, like, you know, your arm is hurting by the end of the day so badly because you're holding like 2 pounds
you're
of
like
metal
having to
in your
like
hand
readjust
every,
it, pull it, get every some slack on there, wrap it around your head,
wrapping the cord around your neck.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out how to be more ergonomic when mm-hmm. really you just need less weight in your hand. So the handpiece is really, really lightweight. And then it also has a 360-degree
Swivel on it.
Swivel.
Right?
Swivel. So that means it's much easier for that wrist and fingers to turn. To roll and
yeah, because
roll
I see what they do is they miss that line angle. Mm-hmm. I disclose them, I come back, and it's like line angle, mm-hmm. line. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, you have to flare that cup. You have to turn it into it. But they're like struggling with the watch, you know, and things aren't turning. And so I think that's brilliant that. Because you need a little help.
Yeah, and then the tip is detachable. Everything's autoclavable, the whole entire handpiece. So, which now we know with CDC guidelines, what they suggest is that mm-hmm. we are.
Say that again. It's CDC guidelines, and they should be taking their handpieces off and sterilizing them. Just want that, because I saw another post yesterday about people arguing, like, I'll just wipe it down.
Yeah, we can go on.
I digress often. The tangents are,
so
I can't control
another
them.
Cool feature about the handpiece is the connector. It's actually contra angled. And so when you connect that to the hose, the contra angled adapter mm-hmm. takes a significant amount of the cord drag off of your wrist and hand, which is, once again, we're going into ergonomics, taking care of ourselves. We've all been doing this for a while, and we feel the effects. And so these key features on the handpiece just really help the longevity of our careers.
Can we talk a little bit about the sterilization process? What kind of things need to be done as far as, like, lubing, and, like, how do you run it through?
So the handpiece comes with its own lubricating oil, and you want to make sure you're lubricating your handpiece after each use, and then autoclaving it in your sterilizer after each use. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's a missed step in a lot of offices.
Yes.
Even if you don't do the sterilizing, like, you keep your handpiece on there and you're just wiping it down. Even if you're doing that, the longevity.
But don't do that.
But most are. I think what Noel Kell said, like 27% are actually taking it off and sterilizing
something
it.
Low. Ridiculous.
Yeah, 27%. So, but you're not caring for that handpiece. This tool that you have to use, depending on if you use Profijet or not, but you're polishing. So why would you not want to keep something so that it still swivels, you know? It doesn't get locked mm-hmm. in there, and all that disinfectant just, like,
corrodes,
cements it together, and you never can turn it. So it should be coming off not only for the sterilization side of it, but for the maintenance side of it as well.
Right. And then one other thing that I think we both have noticed doing our, you know, visiting with other hygienists as young clinical reps is, the handpiece, I don't think hygienists understand how light it is until they put it in their hand.
Yeah.
And every time it gets in their hand,
like,
their
wow.
reaction is, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it is so light. And it is, you know, you see it in a flyer or online, and it doesn't do it justice until you put it in your hand. So if you are around a clinical rep mm-hmm. or young, ask to put that handpiece in your hand, because that's when you're truly going to understand the weight of it and how wonderful it is.
That's awesome.
We've had we have one of the hand pieces in our office, and
I've just tried it at the booth.
At least 10 people. So we have assistants and hygienists, and the assistants in our state can do coronal polishing, and so they're always fighting over it. As soon as it comes mm-hmm. through the sterilizer, they're like, okay, I'm grabbing it. I'm grabbing
mine.
It. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, Andrew, you gotta tell somebody about this. I'm like, okay, well, we're working on it. But they're like, yeah, can you buy more? I'm like, out of my pocket.
Yeah.
You want me to go and buy 20 for you guys? Or what? Yeah. It's all, we're always fighting over. It's fantastic.
So I actually just saw something on Facebook the other day too, and I hate always going back to Facebook, but there really are some good.
We spend our lives on Facebook.
I know. I feel like it's, I don't know why, but I always feel like it's a cheap way of getting information, but really and truly it's like the only way most of us get our information these days.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But there was a discussion on selective polishing, and one was like, no, you don't do that anymore. One's like, no, that's what I learned in high school, in hygiene school. What is the best, and why do you have so many paste that you have? You have a lot, right?
We do.
We have a lot.
Well, we have a number of flavors. So one brand that we have is called Delish. So Delish has 15 different flavors. And then depending on the flavor, there's different grits, obviously. So there's coarse, medium, and fine. And so what we like about Delish is it has xylitol in it. It has fluoride.
Ooh,
it does? Yeah, which is really nice because I don't know about you guys, but I'm talking to my patient while I'm doing stuff. And if I know that there's something in one of the products I'm using that can help them and I can open up that conversation with them, then I can talk to them about that. So
like, I'm going to use this polish. It has xylitol. Yeah. Xylitol is also good outside of right in this moment. You should be using it every day after you eat. That's a great idea.
Absolutely. And then we have another polishing paste, which goes along with our Vera line. So it's a Vera Advanced Bright, which is a really novel concept. It has baking soda in it, and it neutralizes the patient's pH while we're polishing. So yet
so
again,
smart.
It's something great that we can talk to patients about, and it is the bomb at getting off stain.
Yeah.
Like, it's that's awesome, right?
Yeah, so I have a story about why I started using
the we want to hear all your stories.
I am the biggest fan of the Advanced Bright paste, and when it first came out, I was like, eh. So I had a Profijet at my office, and it broke, and wasn't in our budget for a new one, and I had several patients.
I would have cried.
Yeah, I know. It was.
I might have had a hissy fit tantrum.
Yeah, so I have several patients who are Profijet-only patients, so I was very worried about what am I going to do, and so especially as I started rotating through my schedule. At the same time, Young launched the Advanced Bright Profi Paste and sent me. I had some samples in my drawer, so I thought, okay, they're both sodium bicarbonate. Let's just see. And every single one of them that have rotated through my schedule so far swear their teeth feel just like I've used the Profijet. And guess what? No aerosol. I'm not covered in it.
Yeah, they're not covered in it.
It's creamy. It's not gritty. It's very creamy. I don't feel like I'm having to rinse a ton. Patients are saying, oh, my teeth still feel like
gritty.
Yeah, and it does a heck of a job with stain. I'm so impressed.
Try it.
So I love it.
I love my Profijet. Yeah. So that's saying something.
I love it. And so now that's what I'm putting on my tray setups, is the Advanced Bright. And then I still use Delish on my kiddos or those patients that I've spoiled and let them choose all their fun flavors if they want those fun flavors. But for the most part, I feel like I'm doing a good job. You know, I'm doing a good clinical service for them. They're, you know, with removing the stain, but I love it. And I will tell you, because it is a neutralizer, I had a hygienist at an event come up to me and tell me that she uses it on all of her acid reflux patients
to
help neutralize. And she feels like she's giving them an additional service. And I thought, oh yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Absolutely.
So another benefit of the Advanced.
Absolutely.
Spray.
But getting back to the selective polishing. So with those, what Young's come up with is something else to help clinicians really selectively polish. And I have to admit that as a clinician, I didn't selectively polish because I just used what my boss bought, which was coarse paste on every single person.
Holy hell.
Okay, so when somebody, I know you're like writhing, right?
This is your boss would only buy that for you. Like, that's what frustrates me. Like, there's so many other needs.
But this is a common thing between a lot of most hygienists. They're going to use what their boss buys. Mm-hmm. And if they recommend something to their boss just might get it. So now we have a true selective polishing system. So it's called Smart Select. And what it is it's a dual cup. So one side of the cup has a stain remover side. with polish, and mm-hmm. then another side has a finer side that Ooh, enables
ain't
you
that
to
smart.
Yeah, polish the whole mouth. So what a person wants to do with it, what a hygienist should do with it, is when they get into the patient's mouth, they use the stain remover to get rid of stain only. You don't just go over every tooth. You just go to the stain portion, the stained teeth, get rid of your stain, and then you can go back with the finer side and selectively polish the teeth that don't have stain. That way the patient is still getting a benefit. They're still getting polished. They're not leaving the office saying, oh, she didn't polish me, you know. And you're not skipping over anything. You're really doing them a service, but you're also able to do it without having to reach for a coarse and a fine mm-hmm. cup or, you know, try to figure out, like, how am I going to do this? Because I learned it in school, or another hygienist told me I should be selective polishing, but I just can't because all I have is coarse.
Right.
So this changes that that game for a lot of hygienists. It's a really great product.
Things flying around your head.
Yeah, I have a fly in my ear.
It stays in my ear. It's literally staying in this corner, and it attacked me yesterday morning a few times, yes. And I was like doing this randomly, and they're like.
Like, yeah, there's nothing there, Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's fine.
You still drunk? So are you actually getting to walk around the exhibit as a hygienist?
So that's our goal today. We have been swamped.
Yeah.
We just talked about that at breakfast this morning, that we have not, because we have been so busy at our booth. But that is on our agenda today, to be able to.
So how much are you practicing clinically?
I practice 2 days a week.
Okay.
I practice 3.
That's awesome. And is it general?
Yes.
General?
Yeah, general. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. And any teaching outside of this, or this is enough
teaching?
Our
schedules are pretty full right now.
Especially being leaders.
Yeah. When we both took over the lead positions, that takes quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
So
any writing or anything, like, what suggestions would you have for, let's say, either a newbie student coming out or maybe even someone who is wanting to do something similar, get out and love something and they want to go get involved with that?
So when you asked me earlier about how I kind of got started, I left out a key part. I got this position with Young because I knew someone who knew someone, and then I was gifted a scholarship to go to Career Fusion.
There it is again.
Yes.
Like the fifth interview.
And at Career Fusion is where I took a writing course. I feel like I grew significantly with public speaking. I had never given a PowerPoint before. But so that's a great way to go learn, grow, meet a lot of people, and that's where I met my boss.
Nicole.
Good old
Nicole, do you ever want to jump on this podcast? I know you're sitting there.
Well, you could mention that it's not, you know, it doesn't hurt to reach out to manufacturers. I mean, mm-hmm. I have hygienists who approach me all the time and may not be the right fit at the moment, but I think their contact information available and
take that step. Take
yeah,
the leap,
exactly.
Almost.
Take that leap. So, you know, contact, writing, speaking, clinical representative stuff. So I just maybe could add something about that.
I have to say, too, social media, LinkedIn is huge for hygienists. I've met so many people through LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Like, getting yourself out there and just meeting new people is really, really great. Have you guys interviewed Elijah Desmond?
We know Elijah.
Well, we know Elijah.
Yeah. So
no, you don't really ever interview Elijah because that means he'd have to sit still for 4 seconds.
Yeah.
But yeah, we know Elijah.
Elijah's actually worked with us for the Smiles at Sea thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only reason I know him is through Facebook or whatever. Jasmine Haley, mm-hmm. these other hygienists who are reaching out and trying new and different things. Mm-hmm.
Little movers and shakers.
Social media. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not all meeting because we're all live in different areas of the country. So through social media, though, is a really big step through some of these dental hygiene pages on Facebook, Lighthearted and there's a bunch of them.
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them. And yeah. I get kicked out of them left and right. But.
And I think don't be afraid to reach out to the manufacturers themselves.
That's a good idea.
And offer up your services if they ever need, you know, clinicians' opinions on things, or if they need something written or anything like that. Reach out to the manufacturers.
Absolutely. Well, that's how I got my job at Tepe.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you should have told the story about your...
Yeah, no, I totally got my... Because I was a believer, used the product. I got my master's degree. My patient said, what are you going to do now? And I was like, oh, I guess I'm teaching one day. Like, I'll keep doing this until I, you know, want to be a full-time faculty. He's like, well, if you don't get a job with Tepe, you need to buy stock in their company because you talk about them all the time. And I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. And so I literally sent my CV and said, I love your product. Would you ever have this? Do you ever need somebody for research and development? I would love to be a part of that. And they contacted me and I worked a booth. And that was 2-3 years ago. And it was just like slowly developed. And then eventually I was like, I think I'm leaving clinical. I'm leaving my office. I'm unhappy. And they're like, you know what? Maybe we could work with this. And I would never have thought that this is where I would be. Like, I thought I was going to be clinical and faculty, and that's kind of where I wanted. But the things that if you ask and you try to open those doors, and I think if it's not the right time for that company, you made that initial contact mm-hmm. with them, and they're going to remember you. And especially if you come up to these booths, and like the girl who's working in the booth right now was a Tepe lover, and she impressed me.
Shout out to Missy.
Yeah, shout out to Missy. Missy's fantastic. And she was a hygienist that was like, I use this. What about this? Or I tried it this the other day. And I was like, holy crap, this girl's pretty great. Like, she's got it together. And if you do that and you love a product, go talk to the people. I think that's an excellent, excellent point.
And I would say that, you know, especially the products that you use every single day that you love. But not only that, but try new things. Because I feel like sometimes we get in our little ruts.
Yes.
And
yes.
this is what our distributor is going to give us, or our supplier is going to give us, or vendor.
Right. Because I'm now excited to try the baking soda
Advanced Sprite. Yes.
Because I'm a Profijet girl.
She's a huge Profijet. Yeah,
love Profijet.
I think you're gonna love it.
I love that Profijet. I'm not even kidding. If my Profijet had died, I would have probably dropped to the ground like a 2-year-old and been like, I give up. I can't do it anymore. Throw in the gloves.
Can I say one more thing about another way to meet people?
Did you just raise your hand?
Yes.
Here, right here.
You're so polite. Yes, you may talk.
You are.
Thank you. So this is my big thing, and Nicole knows that I love to do parties. And so like
she can
the
throw a
party
good party
that they have at RDH is such a great event. And but if you're just standing around drinking, which that's great, but why don't you drink and meet some people?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yes. When you come to these trade shows, when you go to conferences, YCRs do social events. Like, we're trained to try to get groups of hygienists together just to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Meet people. Come to events. Form your own event.
Yeah.
Come to one of our events. You know, just get out there and really meet people. And you just don't know who you might meet at a certain event. And all of a sudden, you've got a whole new career.
Did you do Career Fusion?
I've never done Career Fusion. But I'm sure Nicole's going to send me one day.
If it's on the podcast, it's happening. Right? We have leverage now. It's going to happen. That was good.
Because that was good.
So sneaky.
That's good. It'll just make you so much better at your job, right? So,
yeah.
Okay. No, and going back to the events, I mean, I think Young has a pretty good reputation for getting not only just hygienists together, but like the key opinion leaders in a lot of different groups. We went up last night, and I ran into Angie Stone up there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Danced. She did the Cupid Shuffle and the wobble.
Yes.
She was so excited.
I mean, she's ran into like everybody. I mean, everyone knows about it and everyone goes to them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's evidenced by that packed big room that we had. So
yeah, that's so awesome. True. Sometimes these key opinion leaders seem so out of reach to the average hygienist.
Yes.
And then you come to something like this, and you're like,
they're normal people. They drink wine and they dance.
They're twerking. you know, like, let's go party.
I would fall on the floor if I saw any of these people twerking.
Yeah. That's great. You know?
If someone twerked last night and I missed it, I will cry tears.
I'm sure there was someone.
Oh,
there's
got to
be at least one.
Yeah. It was a fun party last night.
It breaks barriers. It does. You really do get to know people, and sometimes you really can't.
Well, and
find
the
out
truth of it is that a lot of these leaders and a lot of these just mentors, these people that you really look up to, they're incredibly approachable. If you just, and what was it, Siobhan that said that she used to be so shy and now
very
like
shy,
she
introverted.
Approaches these people and she's taking selfies with them and like, she's like, what the hell? I would never have done this, you know, a few years ago, but people are very approachable. I mean, there are some, there's the exception to the rule for sure. Where I leave the conversation and I'm like,
there's only two of them out there. Don't worry.
There's definitely more than two of them, but there are the others. There are the ones that are amazing.
And you're the worst.
There are. And I
tried to save you.
I am not. I don't want to be saved. It. There are some that are not approachable and it sucks.
Don't
but,
save her.
But
she
those,
don't wanna be saved.
I don't want to be saved because there are the ones that are incredible. So if you come across that one person that is like kind of snotty about it or has just that big ego, don't let that get you down because every one of those, there's a 100 more of the great ones.
Of the Angie Stones out there.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. So
maybe I'll have you guys take off your guys' like young cap for just a minute and just be like regular hygienists. And two things. One, which I learned from my baseball coach, two things. I don't know why. A couple two things. Anyways, so one, who are some of those mentors in your guys' lives, other than your boss who's sitting right here, who you just absolutely look up to and you love everything that they do? And then two, what really gets you passionate about, I mean, obviously our jobs, but what is it that drives you personally into sticking through with dental hygiene?
Okay, so two-part question, yes. Good hard questions. I would say, without a doubt, the person that has significantly made a difference and mentored me the last probably 7-8 years is Chris Potts out of Fort Worth.
I love Chris.
Yes.
We just met her.
Yes.
I
met her
ADHA.
At ADHA.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She's a listener.
Yes, she is. Hi, Chris.
We took pictures with her last night. Yeah.
So she is someone who approached me and pushed me, and when I didn't believe in myself and I didn't think I could do things, said, you can do this. You should do this. Do it. You know what I mean? And when I didn't believe in myself,
that's great.
She pushed me, and she's been my go-to person to sound things out about certain situations and just guided me along. And I wouldn't be here without her. So shout out to Chris.
Yeah.
Good job, Chris.
And then as far as what drives me, so I hear people having the discussion a lot about, so if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you do? I can't imagine doing what I'm not doing now. My dream job or my dream career, I'm doing it. So that's what, I guess that's why.
So then I would add, what if someone's feeling burned out?
Oh, good question. So after
three part question.
You guys are getting really. So after 13, 14 years of, you know, full time being a clinical hygienist, you do. It starts wearing on your body. It wears you out. And so that's when you start adding different things. That was a perfect timing for the YCR program to come in. So then I have the best of both worlds. I practice clinically for 2 days. I see the patients that I've been seeing for 10 years. And then I get to go and represent a company that I am very passionate about their products that I've been using for years. And I get to meet fun people like you guys.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Right at you now.
So I went to SIU, Southern Illinois University, and one of my teachers there.
Is that in Carbondale?
In Carbondale, which
yes.
is where I'm from.
I just did an exam there. I love
you
that
did?
Campus. Yes.
Yeah.
The director there is.
Yeah, top-notch. She's awesome.
I
right?
love her.
Yeah. So Sherry Luce used to Yes. There.
And Sherry, she's at Strawman Booth right now, right?
Yeah.
She's going to be on the podcast. She's the one that we were talking to.
Yep.
Yeah. So Sherry's awesome. And she was one of my former professors. And we were partying last night out on the dance floor. And I was like, oh, Sherry, you're the reason why when I scale between 24 and 25, I go all the way up.
Yes.
she's like, yes. I'm like, yeah. So that was a person who really influenced me and who now that I see she's doing huge things. She's like, she was IDHA president. And I think she's doing something else with the ADHA. So she's awesome. Now, in my YCR role, I know you don't want me to talk about Young, but the way I met this person was through Young, and that's Patty DeGangi.
Yeah.
And
she was on the podcast last night.
Yeah. Who is so awesome. And the reason why I really love her and why I feel like she's one of my mentors is because when I'm going to her classes and representing for Young, I'm watching her, seeing how she talks to people, seeing how she talks about issues in dental hygiene, and I just love the way that she does it.
The delivery of it.
Yeah. Her delivery, but also the way she thinks. You know, she's sort of like sometimes can be all over the place, but I feel like I get her, and I really appreciate being able to go and watch her. Mm-hmm. And then she's always really friendly with me. So, and I can ask her questions. So that's the kind of person you want in a mentor, you know, somebody who's not too high and mighty to sit down and talk with you. So Patty DeGangi and Sherry Lukes for me. As far as what drives me, there's a couple of things for me that I've become more passionate about just in the last few years. So first of all, as a minority hygienist, it's really, really more and more important to me that when I come to these meetings, I see more people who look like me, not just in the audience, but also who are doing the speaking. And I feel like there's not enough of that. So that's one thing that I would love to be able to see more of. And if I can help with that, I don't necessarily want to be the person who's doing it, but I know that there's other people, awesome people out there who are already ready to
Jasmine
step into
Siobhan,
the limelight.
Yeah.
Yes.
They talked about that
and they just
yesterday.
Need their chance. Mm-hmm. And so I really, that's something that's still driving me and keeping me in hygiene. I want to see that happen in hygiene. Like, soon, y'all. Let's do that.
Hey, soon, there's the y'all. Y'all. Okay. Soon, y'all. Yes, and emphasize then, the y'all.
Yeah.
And so then also, the burnout, yeah. What do you think about that?
Hygienists get burned out. We are like wrecking our bodies, helping people every day. So if I meet a hygienist who is like, I'm getting burned out, what can I do? I encourage them to think outside the box, figure out what you want to do. If you don't want to do clinical, but you still want to be in hygiene, what is it that you want to do? Because a lot of hygienists don't want to go back to school or they can't afford it. But they have great ideas about stuff.
Right.
We are very smart. So figure out people who want to do the same things as you, talk to them, and find out how to get into being
Absolutely.
A rep, doing something else.
Teaching, writing.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And don't feel like the first step is always going back to school and getting your master's degree. Because that's not always it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can do it with what you have.
Yeah.
Because if you have a lot of experience, that goes a long way too. So a person who's burned out, they need to figure out what they want to do. But also, burnout is just, it can be really rough.
Yeah.
I've experienced it.
Yeah, it's depressing. It's
yeah,
sad. And you feel stuck and you feel like there's nowhere to go. And you should just leave the profession. Maybe this wasn't it for me. And I feel sad. I say it every time when I hear that or read it on Facebook. It makes me sad because I have done it. And then now I know what I love what I do every day. So to know that somebody's not feeling that, it's really sad.
Yeah. Sometimes people just, they need to work through it and figure it out and then just reach out really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Another tough question for you. You mentioned how smart hygienists were. Are currently not past tense. We're not dead. That's why I shouldn't be speaking sometimes. So here's my question for you. We do a lot of CE. You guys are as hygienists. Again, taking off the Young cap for a minute. When you guys go to events, conferences, what types of courses are you looking for to improve yourselves? Because those are the areas either you want to get better at, or the things that you really enjoy listening to? Types of topics.
I'm always looking at stuff that we haven't heard before. So there were some speakers here who were talking about HPV. That's really important because we're seeing more and more of that. Right. And if I can educate my patient on that and like talk to them in an intelligent way about HPV, then that's great. So any sort of course on newer types of things. So HPV, lasers. Mm-hmm. I liked that they had an anesthesia course this time, you know, nice. Even though everybody can't do it, you know, still go to the course, even if you're not allowed to do it in your state because you're
still learning
something.
One day
you might. Yeah, exactly.
You need to be ready for it.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then things about, actually, because we had a course about hygienists who are looking for different other types of fields or career paths. I think on Wednesday night they had that. Mm-hmm. So things like that. I usually try to get to those things too.
That's great.
We like that topic ourselves.
Yeah.
It's kind of the purpose of the podcast, kind of explore new options and things like that.
So I'm just going to back up Nicole.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Amen.
I mean,
all of those things.
I think that's a pretty fair statement that all hygienists feel. We like anything new, anything different. Absolutely.
All right, so as we wrap things up, let's put your young cap back on. Is there anything about young that we overlooked that we haven't talked about? I know there's angles that we should have talked about, maybe.
Yes. Okay. So Vera gets around. We have the life-size Vera. So
Yes.
It does.
It has a name.
She has a name. And she has her own tiara that she wears.
We need to go take a picture with her.
Yes, you do.
We'll
need
to do that pictures. After this.
Yes. Because, you know, if you take a picture and then post it on social media with a hashtag Young Dental, then you actually, you know, it's all over. You can search that hashtag and then see all of the fun pictures from the conference. And there's some good ones. There's some really good ones. I don't know about last night after the party. Yes. There were some other ones. But
did she go to the party?
She was at the party.
I actually saw some photos already about that from the party.
She's a diva out on that dance floor.
Yeah. So Vera Angles are amazing. It's amazing product. They're amazing angles. One thing that I think sets apart Vera Angles are a slimmer design. They allow you to access hard to reach areas. You can actually see what you're doing. I feel like you can actually polish the buckles of 1 in 16 on patients with Vera.
Shut up.
I mean,
what?
You can absolutely access those areas better. But a cool thing about the young Profi Angles is that the cup itself is screwed in to the angle.
With a metal screw.
With a metal screw.
Every angle.
Versus a plastic tip that's pushed
in. I was going to say, versus what? I don't know the designs of them. So,
this is something very technical, but it makes a huge difference. How many times have you used an angle on a patient and it starts vibrating?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to take it off and get a new one, and you've wasted one. You're basically using two angles on one patient. Well, that's why our angles, the young angles, don't vibrate. You don't have that problem.
There
has a metal screw that screws them on. So it's better for you. It's better for the patient. They're fantastic angles.
Yeah, it's a matter of manufacturing. So the manufacturer, young as the manufacturer, we've been down to the... Have you been there yet?
No.
Okay, well, anyway, I've been to the St. Louis plant.
Well, your boss is here. If you really want to put in another plug.
Not yet.
If you guys want raises, too, like now's the time to do it. Let's do this.
Let's give her a mic.
Let's not. Yeah.
Well, yet another trip we need from Nicole. In the manufacturing, that makes a difference. So the angles are just better made. So that's why hygienists really love them, because you get a cheap angle that keeps breaking down on you. And you're like, get this mess out of here.
And that's one conversation that I've had with a lot of hygienists is that they say, well, my boss won't let me order them. I have to get the cheap ones. And I tell them, explain to your boss, it's not actually not cheaper because you're using two Profi angles on a patient because they're starting to vibrate, and you have to take it off and get a new one. So I think that's a great
reason to.
Well, honestly, I mean, manufactured, like if I threw a perfect angle out, I wouldn't probably bat an eye. But if I couldn't reach 1 or 16 and I found something that did that,
absolutely,
I would be like
raising all sorts of problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She would, yeah. She
we got it. So have you tried Vera?
No.
We got to get her samples. Well,
mm-hmm.
Buy her samples. Yeah.
So the one thing I like about whether it's intentional or unintentional is the spatter factor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It does not spatter. And actually it holds the Profi paste in there a lot better than those cheaper ones.
Absolutely.
Which I unfortunately have had to use for a lot of my career. Not currently in my office, though, but at previous places.
Yeah. And so, actually, Young is doing a promotion for any of the podcast listeners.
Ooh.
So, listeners, listen up. This is for you.
So, just for the podcast listeners, they're doing a promotion. Buy one, get one free on any of the Vera Angles or the Advanced Bright Based.
Thank you, guys.
So there
That's
you go.
Very nice. That is
so
nice.
So, how would they submit that order?
They'll do it through their rep. And then what we'll do is we'll make sure that they get the email your invoice to customer service and make sure you include the hashtag podcast.
Perfect.
I love it.
Well, that's fantastic.
That's great for our listeners.
I know. I love it. That's very
They're so
nice.
Lucky.
Yeah. So what are ways that people can contact you or Young if they have questions in their area? How do they find reps in their areas? How do they talk to you?
Maybe for you as individuals first, just in case they have questions about your pathway of how you guys got to where you're at. And then separately,
So if you want to contact me, my email is Nicole Phillips, NicolePhillips, RDH1, the number one, at Gmail. Feel free to email me anytime. And if you email me and you have a question about a Young product or you'd like to know something, then I will make sure that you contact Nicole Schreiber, my manager.
And then my email address also is melissascottrdh@icloud.com.
Nice. Excellent.
And we can absolutely help get you pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, are there CEs or webinars that Young provides?
Yes, there are. There are CEs and webinars that we provide. In fact, Young offers a lunch and learn program that gives hygienists 1 hour of CE, which is really awesome. So we come into your office, we bring some pizza, whatever you want to eat, and then we talk to you about the products, and you get 1 whole hour, and that's free, which is awesome. Nice.
But we can also provide that for your local component meetings, that kind of thing. And this is a brand new thing that Young is implementing that we can actually give that CE now. So we're so excited about that. So if you're interested, email us.
So you're really investing in the education side of it, not just, that's,
absolutely.
That's great.
Awesome. Well,
great
we really thank you for being
you
on the
so
podcast
so
early this morning. Day 3, because you're working the booth. I know your pain. It's exhausting. But thanks for taking the time. We really do appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Listeners, I want to tell you a story. A story I found on the web, which makes this Scaling the Web with Andrew. All right. So this week for Scaling the Web, one of the things that I've talked to you a few times that we maybe don't agree with necessarily, we don't disagree with, but we don't necessarily agree with, is how often you should have cleanings. So this
do we disagree?
Is from, I think that we do a little bit.
Okay.
Because I don't think, I think that the idea, anyways, let me just read this and then we'll probably find out that we actually do agree. But I feel like I'm constantly fighting patients and hygienists on how often people need to have their teeth cleaned, because in the absence of disease, I think that they can go a full year and be okay with it. So this is from askthedentist.com, and it's appropriately titled, How Often Should I Go to the Dentist for Teeth Cleaning? And the question, how often do I need to get my teeth cleaned? Should the every 6 months rule apply to everyone? Answer, how often do you get your oil changed? Every 3,000 miles or is it every 6,000 miles? Thanks to computers, most cars today will make a determination for you based upon the type of driver and temperature extremes the car has to endure. So why is it that you've been told to see the dentist every 6 months or every 3 months if you have gum disease? How can it be so for every human without the predictable variability of lifestyles and environmental triggers being a factor? Who says that you have to see a dentist every 6 months? I'm going to pause for just a second because I want to make sure I'm recording all this. Yeah. I stopped looking for a minute, so I was like, oh. Okay. So who says blah, blah, blah? Well, we do. Us dentists, we in our infinite wisdom have decided as a group of healthcare professionals concerned for the health of our patients that it is in your best interest to come see us every 6 months. Every person, whether you have good teeth or not, whether your gums are healthy or not, whether you build up a lot of plaque and tartar or not, whether you are the world's best brusher and flosser or not, that's right, everyone needs to see the dentist every 6 months. And we certainly are not about to reward the patients that brush and floss regularly because the rules are the rules. Is this sounding ridiculous yet? Completely. I hope so, because it is.
Wow.
Let's first discuss the origin of this insanity, as risibility as it may sound. Afterwards, we'll arm you with the knowledge to make the right decision in your own case. So are you a fast driver that makes it... Hold on. So are you a fast driver that drives in very cold weather or dusty conditions? Or do you baby your car, warm it up every morning, and drive like the owner of a Zamboni in an ice rink? How soon would your car's onboard computer tell you to go in for service? And where and when did the profession of dentistry come up with a six-month interval? From Amos and Andy, of course, a TV show from the 50s. I'm not joking. First, a wildly popular radio show, a television adaptation ran on CBS TV from 1951 to 1953 and continued in syndication through 1966. The show was sponsored by Pepsodent tooth powder. Toothpaste had not yet been invented. The procedure was to put some powder on the palm of your hand, wet your toothbrush, touch the powder with your brush, and in those days, going to the dentist was not a routine activity. In fact, most people went to see the dentist when they needed an extraction or when they were in pain. The Pepsodent ad campaign was quite successful, and in an attempt to appease dentists and gain their recommendation, stated in the ad that in addition to brushing twice daily, that they see their dentist twice yearly or every 6 months. Yes, the ad men of Pepsodent are clearly responsible for determining the frequency of your dental cleaning visits today.
It's totally so like the Beers company and making every female think that they have to have an engagement ring. It has to be a diamond and it has to be 3 months salary or no one loves them.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just get frustrated because I think what has evolved since this 1950s commercial was insurance companies saying, okay, well, the dental company or dental professionals think that they need to come in every 6 months for cleaning. So that's how often we're going to pay out.
Right.
But as we know, and they talk about this in the article a little bit later on, that, you know, after that pellicle is removed, within 3 days, it's going to come back.
Right.
And so that's not really effectively doing anything by coming in 6 months necessarily. It's home care and it's the things that we talk about on this podcast all the time that really makes it, you know, it makes a difference.
Absolutely.
So, anyways, I'm not going to read the whole article because it's pretty long. But they do go into recommendations of how often, what kind of things to look for. Because remember, we're trying to, as a profession, we say that caries is preventable and that gum disease is preventable 100%. That's what we say. And so they have some things to look for and in order to help people more. But I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I mean, so, and this is a discussion this week, weekend actually, because I mean, we as a profession, we get our parameters and it's almost like we get a recipe. Like here is how you create a healthy patient. Come every 6 months, brush and floss twice a day, or brush twice a day, floss once a day. And then we just think that that's the only way it could ever be done and that there's nothing that could be altered in that. But then you start to, I don't know, grow up in this profession and then realize, oh, you can add and change and alter and move. And we need to understand that. But I also think that we need to be grounded in the research too, so that we are making the proper recommendations. And that is the systemic link that comes into that and the host response that comes into that. Products, it's not just about the shelves at the pharmacy, and it's what you do in that chair with that patient is kind of not the biggest part of it, honestly. I mean, it's what you teach that patient, how you, what you find for them, and then how you describe it to them so they understand what their overall health needs to be and what healthy looks like, because most of them don't know what healthy looks like.
I would like to think that during the ideal dental appointment, and I think that many of us hygienists are in a situation where if I go in and I see you, Michelle, as my hygienist, I would expect it to be more like a checkup for my gums.
Right.
I would expect you to say, you're doing great, you're missing this spot, fix this, as more of an educational, almost like an exam, rather than a treatment. Like, everyone goes in saying, I need this cleaning treatment, and that's not necessarily the mindset that needs to happen.
No.
And then they should see the dentist for the exam for caries.
Right.
And then, later on, they'll have treatment and stuff if they're not doing things that they should be. But
it's just a mindset that needs to be updated and changed in the everyday patient population. But honestly, we as a profession need to get on board with it too, because we can't expect our patients to understand it if we can't understand it. And we also can't expect our patients to tell us, because I can't even imagine how embarrassing that would be, especially this whole, the flossing debacle that just happened was probably a good evidence or quintessentially the way that we as a profession practice. We don't know the science, and then a patient comes in because they hear something on TV, and then we can't have a conversation with them because we don't even understand the research.
Right, right.
So that's a good one. I think that was a good article.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
It's about that time. Grab your blanket and a glass of wine. It's story time with Michelle.
Okay, so this week on Story Time with Michelle, I decided on this article, Andrew, because in my many travels and sitting on a plane, I came across a gentleman who runs a, let me see if I can put it. You know, like the Rugged Maniac races?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like the medical team that is there if you hurt yourself?
In case you get electrocuted too hard on one of those things or that come down, or you impale yourself on a spike.
Yeah. So the many random things that you can do, even just twisting your ankles, whatever, there's always like this medical team. Well, this gentleman has created the company that will find those medical professionals, train them, and then set them up at these races.
Nice.
Very cool, right? And so he asked me,
really awesome.
Because we started talking about dentistry, and he was like, would you ever want to be on this? Because, we see teeth knocked out quite often, and it would be great to have a dental professional on the team. And I was like, as exciting as that sounds, I have zero time. So let me spread the word. And it turned out that one of my friends took a position. She's in radiology, but, I think they'll look at anybody that's willing to treat a patient and has some medical knowledge, sure, because we really could, scrapes, bumps, things like that, we could all manage. So in my interaction with him, he was asking me about tooth avulsion and what kind of treatment that is. Back in school, we learned a certain thing, and then I was like, I wonder if that has updated. So I came across this article, and I wanted to bring it to our attention just in case we are not all up to date on what to do for an avulsed tooth. So this came from, again, I just pull these out of my collection sometimes. I don't always know, but it's from 2016. Oh, Oral Health and Preventive Dentistry, which I think is a Quintessence magazine. So the avulsion of permanent teeth is one of the most serious dental injuries, and prompt correct emergency management is very important to the prognosis in such cases. Dental avulsion accounts for approximately 16% of all tooth injuries, and the loss of an anterior tooth can lead to aesthetic, social, and psychological problems. the most appropriate treatment is the immediate replantation of the tooth into its socket at the scene of the accident, or the transfer of the accident victim to a dentist as soon as possible with the tooth stored in a proper medium. According to the guidelines of the International Association of Dental Traumatology, the best storage medium is Hank's Balanced Salt Solution, milk, saline solution, or the patient's own saliva to maintain the viability of the remnants of the periodontal ligament on the root surface. I can't imagine wanting to spit on my tooth that just fell out of my mouth, but hey,
with all the blood that's mixed in with it.
Whatevs. 24-hour emergency medical services see a greater proportion of emergency dental conditions, whereas dentists rarely administer first aid at the scene of the accident. In most cases, paramedics respond to emergency calls for household and automobile accidents and provide first aid to the victims. Therefore, these health professionals often need to deal with tooth avulsions. So, let me go down to the discussion. So, prompt management is important to the diagnosis of an avulsed tooth. However, a large portion of the non-dental healthcare professionals do not have adequate knowledge on this issue. Victims of maxillofacial trauma involving tooth avulsion often receive first aid from the healthcare professionals experienced in emergency care. The present study involved physicians, nurses, and paramedics of an emergency care service in Brazil, in a Brazilian city, addressing knowledge regarding tooth avulsion before, immediately after, and 6 months after an educational lecture. At baseline, 19% of the paramedics, 50% of the nurses, and 100% of the physicians reported having knowledge on the concept of tooth avulsion. Paramedics receive training but often do not have a university education, which may explain the low percentage of knowledge on tooth avulsion at the baseline evaluation. In a study conducted in Chile involving emergency care health professionals, physicians, nurses, and paramedics, only 35.4% of the interviewees made the correct diagnosis of tooth avulsion. In another study involving pediatricians, they always spell it differently, only 44% were aware of the term tooth avulsion. The high percentage of physicians in this present study who had knowledge on the issue was likely due to the improvements in the quality of emergency care protocols in Brazil in recent years. In a study conducted in India, 54.8% of the nurses were unaware of the term tooth avulsion. In contrast, a study involving nursing students in Poland demonstrated greater knowledge on this. Go down. So, let's see. Conclusion. At baseline, the non-dental healthcare professionals surveyed had some knowledge regarding the management of tooth avulsion. The educational intervention led to a significant increase in the number of correct answers on the questionnaire addressing the measures to be taken in such cases. So, I find this interesting for a few reasons. One, did you know that you are supposed to put it back in the patient's mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked in pediatrics, though.
That's true.
So we saw this a lot.
Also, I think it's interesting that, because these are very similar to the results I got during my thesis surveys when I was asking nurses in the ICU units about oral care. And the answers were really difficult. Not because they're not smart and not because they're not capable, but because this is not their profession. It is not their level of expertise. It is ours. And we really, really need to be a collaborative team when it comes to patient care.
And it would be nice if they had, because I can imagine that there would be a lot of domestic violence, like, and avulsion is, you know, kind of associated with that, that if they had, what was that one solution that you mentioned the first time?
Hank's Balanced Salt Solution.
Yeah, if they had some of that, or even, I guess, some saline. I mean, either way, but just something in the back that they could, you know, store the teeth in, you know, in transit or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just something to kind of help bridge that gap would be great.
Truly. And I have actually had a patient when I was in my first practice where we did a lot of surgeries, and I was more of the assistant rather than the hygienist in that practice. I had one patient, and I can't remember if it was a automobile accident, but I think they just had, like, they tripped over their dog and fell on the sidewalk or something. And, like, busted their face open. And they went to the emergency room and they cleaned it out and they stitched like the outer part of her lip. And then she came to us. And when we pulled back her lip, there was literally concrete embedded in her gingiva in the vestibule.
Oh.
Right?
And seems like they should have looked at that part.
And not, granted, you know, when you come in like that, I understand it's just a bloody, bloody mess and you just kind of irrigate and hope for the best. But again, inject with some local anesthetic, you know, get her numbed up so it's not hurting her, and then clean that stuff out, because her lips were so swollen that she didn't come to us. It was maybe 10 days afterwards, maybe even more than that. Like, she wanted to wait for her sutures to come out of her lip, and that stuff had already started to eat into the bone. Like, you know, that foreign body reaction. I mean, it was infected, and it was, I mean, it was right underneath her nose. Like, if you pulled up her lip and, you know, just nothing but like concrete and pebbles and gravel, and it was just bad. So.
Yeah.
Fun stuff, right?
That was a fun one. That was a little less scientific feeling. Like, I could stay awake during your story time. So. That was good.
And I could speak words properly because I didn't have a ton of wine. I'm not drinking this week, FYI.
Uh-oh. Why?
I just feel like this last 2 months, 10 weeks of travel has just totally taken a toll on me. I don't feel good. Like, I don't feel like I have, like, good gut health right now. Like, it's just like I eat and I just don't feel good. I feel lethargic. I feel just kind of run down. And I keep getting, like, this sniffly kind of, you know, what was it, 2 podcasts ago, I was like, I feel like I'm getting sick. And so I'm like, no sugar, no dairy, no carbs, no wine this week. I'm just doing veggies, and that is it. I want to just, like, get the crap out. Get it all out. I just don't feel good. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy right now.
Okay. No, I mean, you know your body. You do you, buddy. No judgment over here.
And it is Thanksgiving week. Let's say that, so that's gonna be real fun. Yep. So on that note, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your week, everyone.
Yes. Bye, y'all.